Hey there. Did you know that with a bachelor's degree, on average, you could make almost twice as much over a lifetime than a person with just a high school diploma? It's true. According to the 2012 U.S. Census Bureau, college grads with a bachelor's degree make almost twice as much as high school grads. Now, going back to school is easier than ever at Independence University. Log on and complete coursework from the park or the beach or even your couch watching the kids. And Independence University gives you the tools, a free tablet and laptop for undergrad students to use and keep when they graduate. That's right. Get a laptop so you can go to college from anywhere. Take the first step to a new career in business, information technology, healthcare, or graphic arts. Call to find the online degree program that's right for you, and you could be on your way to increasing your earning potential.
800-797-1256. 800-797-1256. That's 800-797-1256.
Live, worldwide, Sports Byline USA. And here's host, Ron Barr.
And wherever you might be across this great country of ours and around the world, I'm Ron Barr. Good to have you with us for another edition of Sports Byline. This hour, we're going to talk some baseball. Season just around the corner. If you haven't gotten down to Florida or down to Arizona, try to get down there and enjoy spring training. Busy day, of course, today in sports. Day number one of the full draw in the NCAA tournament. A couple of upsets. We'll give them all to you when we check the scoreboard a little bit later on. But I can tell you about a couple of them. Number 11, Xavier, knocked off number 6, Maryland, 76-65. That was in the West region. And let's see, there was another one, too. Villanova, easy time with Mount St. Mary. So that was a number 1 against number 16. That wasn't the case. Middle Tennessee State. You know, a lot of people really did not take them serious, I guess because they had a name like Middle Tennessee State, but they were a darn good basketball team, and they surprised number 5 seed Minnesota 81-72. So as I said, we'll check all the numbers for you when we look at the scoreboard a little bit later on. Speaking of numbers, our fan poll question continues to get a lot of attention from you fans out there. We're asking you whether resting uninjured NBA players during the course of the season just to get them some rest is a good idea or a bad idea, and 62% of you say it's a good idea. 38% say, nah, they don't like it. So check it out. It's on the homepage at sportsbyline.com. Later on this hour, we're going to spend some time with Jerry Kuzman. If you're a baseball fan, you know that name. Former pitcher who played 19 seasons with the Mets, Twins, White Sox, and Phillies. He played on the Miracle Mets team that won the 1969 World Series, and he was discovered by the son of a Shea Stadium usher who caught Kuzman when he pitched in the Army at Fort Bliss, Texas. And he was has the third most wins in Mets history with 140 behind Tom Seaver and also Dwight Gooden. But I'm going to start things off this hour sharing an interview with you with the late Veda Pinson. He lived here in the Bay Area, always enjoyed talking baseball with him, 18 seasons in the majors as a player, 17 seasons as a manager, or I should say as a coach. And he was signed by the Reds out of McClyman's High School in Oakland, California, same high school that produced Frank Robinson and Curt Flood. So we're going to be talking some baseball, sharing the interview with the late Veda Pinson as we continue on Sports Byline.
Do you use the blue pill to charge your sex life? Have you been thinking about trying the blue pill? What if we can promise you the same results for less than $3 a pill? If you're paying $20 a pill for the other pills, you're getting taken to the cleaners. Our pill delivers the exact same results for less than $3. We'll do the math for you. You'll save more than $16 a pill for the same results. Want more? We'll give you 40 blue pills or 40 yellow pills for $99 and add 4 more pills free. You save more than $500. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to know what to do next. You need to call and get your 44 pills for just $99. Stop overpaying for the other blue pills. Call us and start saving a ton of money for the exact same results. Ordering is fast and easy with your pills delivered to your door in a non-marked package. 800-223-0992. 800-223-0992. 800-223-0992. That's 800-223-0992.
The following update is for drivers who pay too much for car insurance due to DUIs, DWIs, tickets, or anything else. By now, you know all too well that SR22 auto insurance is way more than you'd ever want to pay. You probably thought you didn't have a choice, but you were wrong. Our company specializes in low-cost, very affordable SR22 auto insurance for high-risk drivers. We know that mistakes happen, so take pride in being able to offer absolutely free quotes for this very affordable auto insurance meant specifically for you, the overpaying high-risk driver. We're standing by at 800-758-0725. The only thing you need to do is stop waiting around while your monthly payments stay as high as they are. Our knowledgeable representatives are ready for your call at 800-758-0725. The quote is free, and we'll even handle the filings so you could start saving money every month even sooner. Call 800-758-0725. That's 800-758-0725. Once more, 800-758-0725.
Not too long ago, it felt good to withdraw your cash from the bank, didn't it? For a vacation or a new car. But today, withdrawing your own cash has become risky. Pat Boone here for Swiss America. According to The Secret War, a new Swiss America white paper, I learned that all banks are now required to spy on you and me for the government, and then report any financial behavior deemed suspicious or unusual. You must read The Secret War. It's free. Truth is, I believe the government's new war against cash is really a war against us all. But the secret is now out. So please, get and read The Secret War.
Pick up your phone and call right now. 800-932-5517. 800-932-5517. 800-932-5517. Once again, that's 800-932-5517.
This is America's Sports Talk Show, Sports Byline USA. Here's Ron Barr.
Nice to have this gentleman with us. I've known him for a number of years, and every time in the offseason he drops by to talk a little baseball with us. 18 years in the majors, and I'll tell you what, when this guy was in the outfield, he could run down almost any ball, and any ball that hit the ground, he could get it back into the infield real quick. I'm talking about Veda Pinson, who played 11 of those 18 years with the Cincinnati Reds. Veda, how are you?
Ron, just fine. How are you doing?
Good. I got to tell you a story, and I don't mean to age you in any particular way, but I used to be a youngster that would spend summers with my grandparents in Parkersburg, West Virginia. Mm-hmm. And I remember on those rainy summer nights in West Virginia, you could almost hear up and down the block the radio stations,
right.
You know, and you'd listen to both. There's only two teams you listen to. That was the Pirates,
right.
Or the Cincinnati Reds.
Right. Yeah.
And I always remember the big event for me during the course of the summer was that my grandparents one weekend would take me to Pittsburgh to see a weekend series with the Pirates. The other one would be up to Cincinnati to see it.
Mm-hmm.
Take me back to Cincinnati when you came up with that team, the stadium you played in, the whole atmosphere of Cincinnati, because to me, in a sense, that was a mecca of baseball. I mean, traditionally, that is where the baseball season has always opened each year. Did you sense that kind of a feeling when you came up with the Reds?
19 years old, first night game we had, the lights were so bright, I thought it was day. Because, you know, when you're in the minor leagues, you got all these little candelabras out there, and you do well until you get to the big leagues, and you said, how in the world did I do so well in the minor leagues because the lights weren't that bright? Crosley Field had a terrace, unique in itself. I'm playing with all these great superstars and things. Robin Roberts was the first pitcher I faced. Went 1-for-5 off of him. And it's just, I'm in the big leagues now. I'm in the big leagues. So I didn't get too excited because, what the heck, you know, Frank Robinson was there and we're going to be roommates and things like that. So things worked out pretty good until the second day. And I done something that excited me, so after a while, I was in another world. You know, I had a grand slam home run off of Ronnie Klein in Pittsburgh. And you know, Forts Field, how it was situated.
Sure.
You know, I hit it to the long spot, not patting myself on the back. But I went into another world after that. You know, I was looking for that same pitch and going to do this thing, so they had to send me down to Seattle, of all places. And everything worked out. I got an education down there. But a young man, 19 years old, going to the big leagues, $6,500 was the big mecca, the money. $6,500, right? Well, it was the big leagues. I was making a lot of money then. But let me tell you, things have changed now, as you know.
Yeah, I do know. The other thing I sensed about Cincinnati was is that was a baseball town through and through. They didn't have professional football at that time, of course, when you came up. And I don't know when the Royals started playing professional basketball.
They were playing there, too.
Were they? But it was still a baseball town. There was no doubt about it. And I always felt that there was a connection between the Reds fans at that time with Frank Robinson and the other great names that you mentioned about yourself and others. Was there truly that connection? How did the fans interact with those Reds at that time?
It was fine. It was still, well, there was a lot of prejudice going on at that time, too. You know, we couldn't go in certain places. 61.
Right.
We won the pennant, and we won in Chicago, and we come home to celebrate, and people are pushing us. We couldn't get to our wives, and they pushed us down the street, and we went into one restaurant place, and the guy says, "You can't come in here." And whoa. So Frank and I stopped, and we looked at each other, and the people said, "Don't you know who this is?" And he said, "Well, you can't come in." And then Phyllis said, "This is Veda Pinson and Frank Robinson." "Oh, come on in." But we walked right on through, right out the back door, right on down the alley. We went somewhere else. But see, those were the things. We had to go over to Kentucky to have a nice time. You know, they had a hotel where we stayed with the blacks. But we had our own apartments. Oscar Robinson, Bob Boozer, we knew all of those. We were sort of, you know.
That was your family. That was your athletic family.
This was it, you know. Yeah. So I didn't stay there that long. I went back to California, then I come back, and I had a place there, you know. But it's a lot of memories, and there's a lot of people still there, but it was the real center of baseball, you know, the first night game and the first everything, just about. And I go back today, and I see a lot of people, and I just look, and I said, wow, it's expressways all over the place. You know, and I wouldn't know which way to turn, but it's something about going across the water, going over to Cincinnati, and you still have some of the same skylines. It's great. This is where I started. This is where I had most of my feedings.
Veda, I was taking a look at your statistics. So you're a career 286 hitter, and today 286 would get you a lot of money. But tell me a little bit about how you and other hitters approach the game of baseball today and how that may be different from today's hitters.
Well, in our day, I guess when we first started out, outfielders were supposed to hit 300, things like that, power, things like that. But it never did happen. It's not too much different than yesteryear, but the guaranteed contracts are making things so different right now. A fellow could hit 260 or something, and he gets $1 million or whatever, which it's kind of hard to believe. But that's today's going prices, whatever.
Yeah, but what I found was guys like you and Frank Robinson and the other greats that really put the bat on the ball worked at it and tried to make it as best they could an art form. I mean, one of the things that I notice is that if the ball was on the outside part of the plate, you didn't try to pull that ball down the line. You went with the ball wherever it was and tried to put it in a gap between somebody. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, using the whole field, that was my way, because I wasn't a power hitter,
right,
for one thing. And Frank was a power hitter, too, but he had power through the opposite field also. Why not? You got the two white lines there. Everything's fair in there. It was one of those things that you tried to move the runner over. You tried to do things. Today, you have people doing that, and then some people maybe can't do it. I don't know. But we had a one-year contract, and we really had to do things because we would get a cut in salary. I don't hear too many people getting cuts in salary, but I hate to just put it on money. But those days, it seemed like a lot of the players, when you play, it was the joy of playing. There were more loyalty. They were playing, just getting out there and just busting your butt and just working hard. You had to. We didn't have all the endorsements that they have today, much TV. That's the reason a lot of people don't know what we did back there because they probably didn't have enough TV. But there's so much things going on today that I don't know. I remember when the players were afraid of the manager. Today, it can be a little different in certain cases, certain places.
Yeah, you and I were talking about it before. I mentioned about Don Baylor being on with me, and he told me, he says, the thing that disappoints him when I asked him what he liked and what he didn't like about today's players, he said, first of all, they're bigger and they're stronger. I like that. What I don't like is the fact that unless I'm out there on the field, sometimes players will not work and prepare themselves for the game. Mm-hmm. And that was not anything that, you know, you didn't have to have the manager always on the back of players when you played. What was that relationship like? I mean, was there a fear factor involved between manager and player when you were playing?
I don't think it was a fear factor, but it's just the idea that there was respect. It was your job. You could lose it very easily in those days. But it's just a situation where, well, okay, let's take Latch, Rene Latchman, a young man, is a workaholic. He works his rear end off every day. He throws batting practice. He does a lot of things. He does the paperwork. When he leaves the field, not necessarily the fellows are doing their work. They respect him, because if you can't play for him, you can't play for no one, really. But you can see the cases in some people where they get little lackadaisical, I guess, and just back off a little, where you had to maintain a level. You want to do it. Well, in our day, we would play hurt. This day, not necessarily a lot of players would play hurt, because we got a guaranteed contract. Maybe their attorneys will say, hey, make sure you're 100% before you go out there. And my hat's off to that individual who's making $4 or $5 million playing every day or whatever, even when he's a little sore or something. So when you boil down, it's the individuals, I would say, who takes pride in what they're doing is very important.
You know, that's a very important thing, what you just said, because I can talk to any player on this show, and I can tell by the way they answer questions and they talk about their game, the type of passion that they have and the way they verbalize it, whether they're that type of player that will do whatever it takes to win. Tell me a little bit about the pride factor that you found from a team standpoint, a total team standpoint when you played, and how that is maybe a little bit different today because of the money that's involved.
Well, in the olden days, I guess, you have all the players, some player getting on another player and letting him know, hey, you know, shape up. Or...
So it was discipline within the organization.
Right,
yeah.
which was good. And when I come up, I was a younger player. And so things like that, I respected, you know, their idea. I tried to steal home one day in Milwaukee, and I made it. I knocked the ball out of the Euchre, Bob Euchre of all people. I knocked it out of his glove, you know, he's got it in his book. But I made it, and the game was over. Jerry Lynch was pinch hitting. Now, if I'm out, we lose Jerry Lynch as a pinch hitter. So Frank said, look, you know, wait a minute now. So he explained it to me. Well, I was a young man, but I know right then and there, you know, you're going to make some mistakes, but do you learn from the mistakes and everything? There are some players today who get on some players here, too. Don't think that it's not a lot alike what we done back there. You have those cases right there, you know, and it's good when you see that, because now I'm saying a lot of people don't like to talk to the manager and maybe not to the coach or something. But when you're playing with a person right side of you, you know, not just you, whatever you're doing, you're affecting a lot of people. You're affecting people in the front office, not only on the field. It's the city, the town, the state, wherever. The pride, you put a uniform on. And I'll tell a lot of them, you know, it's easy to get there, but can you stay there? That's important.
Hold on. Veda Pinson has joined us, and we'll take a look at the numbers, and we'll continue across the country and around the world on the Armed Forces Radio Network on America's sports talk show, Sports Byline.
If you or someone you love suffers from drug addiction, now is the time to utilize your private health insurance PPO plan. If eligible, receive up to $30,000 or more in substance abuse benefits with low or no out-of-pocket cost. We are the National Treatment Network, the premier drug and alcohol treatment referral service operating 24/7. We help connect you with facilities nationwide that accepts PPO private health insurance for substance abuse. If you have PPO substance abuse coverage and you need immediate admittance to a medical detox or residential rehab treatment center, call us now. Call our live referral helpline today. The call is free. This program is not available to Medicare or Medicaid customers.
Call 800-296-0906. 800-296-0906. 800-296-0906. That's 800-296-0906.
Do you have an old car sitting in your driveway? How would you like to learn a hassle-free way to get rid of it, help kids in need, and get a great tax donation in the process? It's real easy. One simple free call to our car donation hotline is all it takes. Call the Neshama Foundation
at 800-760-4895, 800-760-4895.
We'll come pick your car up for free and give you a tax donation for the full value of the car, running or not. The value of your unwanted car will go to help kids in need. It's fast and easy. Just call us and your car will be gone and on its way to helping children in 48 hours. And you get a nice tax deduction. Call the Neshama Foundation now to get rid of your car, help kids, and get a tax write-off.
Call 800-760-4895, 800-760-4895, 800-760-4895. That's 800-760-4895.
Rebuild or replace transmission, $3,200. Anti-lock brake system, $1,000. Rebuild or replace engine, $2,400. Truth is, once your manufacturer's warranty runs out, it's all on you. Every last cent. Get protection for covered repairs with a vehicle service contract from Toco Warranty. Unlike other companies, with Toco, there's no down payment, and the monthly payments are really affordable. Not sure how long you're keeping your car? At Toco, you can pay as you go. Keep your hard-earned cash and call Toco Warranty right now at 800-222-2313 to save big money on covered auto repairs. Prices vary by vehicle, but for about the cost of a tank of gas per month, a Toco plan has your back on expensive covered car repairs. Monthly payments are very affordable. Get your free quote now. Call Toco at 800-222-2313. That's 800-222-2313. 800-222-2313. Cancellation fee may apply. Subject to eligibility. Not available in Missouri and Washington. Waiting period and deductible apply. Coverage provided and administered by Warrantech Corporation or its affiliates. Not affiliated with any manufacturer or dealership. Visit TocoWarranty.com for complete terms and conditions.
This is America's Sports Talk Show. Sports Byline USA. Here's Ron Barr.
NCAA numbers for you. East Regional, number 4, Florida over East Tennessee, 80-65. Number 5, Virginia down UNC Wilmington, 76-71. Villanova, the top seed in the tournament, easily past number 16 seed Mount St. Mary's, 76-56. In the South Regional, 4th seeded Butler dumped Winthrop by a score of 76-64. But number 5 seed Minnesota beaten by Middle Tennessee, 81-72. Also over in the West Regional, West Virginia 86, Bucknell 80. Notre Dame got a scare, but they prevailed by a bucket over Princeton, 60-58. Number 6, Maryland is defeated by number 11, Xavier, 76-65. St. Mary's an 85-77 winner. That was over VCU. In the West Regional, Gonzaga, the number 1 seed in the West, dumped South Carolina State, 66-46. Also, it was Northwestern downing Vanderbilt, 68-66, and in the Midwest Regional, 4th-seeded Purdue, 80, Vermont, a 13-seed, 70. Your winners in the NBA, Cleveland, also Oklahoma City. The Knicks fall to Brooklyn, and it was Memphis over Atlanta. And that's your sports update.
Patroni Vineyards produces Paggio Ella Pietra, California's first gold medal-winning Sangiovese Grosso grape, cloned from Italy's Brunello di Montesino. To enjoy Paggio Ella Pietra's rich, seductive flavors, visit PatroniVineyards.com and become a wine club member today.
Veda Pinson has joined us, and you. When a team is struggling, I find today that there's a lot of finger-pointing and a lot of people become isolationist in a sense. But yet, I always felt that when a team lost, the whole team lost when you were playing.
Right. And I got a thing I say, Ron, you know, when you're pointing a finger, you're pointing one, but there's three fingers pointing back at you. So maybe you shouldn't point a finger. The main thing about it is going out there and doing a job and letting it fall where it may. It's tough because I was with the Mets in the organization, so I know about Howard Johnson. They're going to make a center fielder out of him. Well, we tried. And he had a lot of pride, and he was hurt a lot, and he just couldn't do the job, so they moved him back in, whatever. There was a lot of turmoil going over there, and I was sorry to see that because they had some great players over there. But when you're losing, everything seemed to happen. And little things that you said kids would do, well, there are like kids in uniforms, but they're grown men. What are they doing? I don't know.
Yeah. Is New York a tough market to play in for the obvious reasons?
It's tough. It's always been tough. It's always nothing new. The people love the winner, have a winner, there's no doubt about it. But I think it's one of the toughest markets to play in. It's a situation where when I went to Detroit, and every time I look up on the board over there, Howard's hitting a home run. I said, Howard's over here. And they say, I said, who made the reports out on this guy? Nobody answered me. So I just don't know. It's just one of those things. But
Thomas, you're in Memphis, Tennessee. Nice to have you with us tonight.
Hi, Veda. Hi, Ron.
Fine. How are you doing?
Veda, don't you have a Memphis connection?
I was born in Memphis, Tennessee.
And you know what we're doing, Veda?
What's that?
Some of us old-timers that played in the old Negro League back at Martin Stadium.
Uh-huh.
We play a couple of exhibition games and, you know, honoring some of the old-timers. And I want to know, what has happened to our youth that they don't, you know, in the black community, don't care much for baseball? I know we played on a little field that didn't, in the street, in a kind of thing. But what has happened to baseball
in general? I tell you, it's tough to say. I recall when I first was playing as a young man, the police department helped me out. Mm. You know, after my father's helped me out, and we had everything was just like professional. Mm. Then all of a sudden, a lot of things seem to come along. I guess basketball has been going on great because you see more kids able to just get a round ball and go on the corner and play.
But we had to have equipment.
That's true, you know, and a lot of people just don't get involved in helping out. But I see a lot of communities helping out by buying equipment for these kids and giving them something to work for, like I had when I was young. And I'm sure, like, nobody had to tell you. You just get a bat and ball and go and play and have a great time. And it probably would rain, you wouldn't want to come in, you know.
Hey, you remember we played corp.
Right. Anything you could get your hand on.
Yeah.
You know, and
Bob stick, anything.
Yeah. It's just one of those things today that so many other things to do, you know, football. The young people look up today and see these players make a lot of money. And
I want to say one thing. I'll let you go.
Sure thing.
I believe that I know you have some good statistics. You did hit with power, too. I think you had 200-some home runs.
Yeah.
But you were in the golden age of baseball, and that's probably why you're not in the Hall of Fame now.
I tell you.
Maybe you think about Mays,
really?
Now them still around.
It was great to play against those people because it was being very competitive. And the thing about it is, I always say the 50s, the 60s, the early part of the 70s was real baseball. And I'm not taking nothing away from baseball today.
Yeah.
But it was really because you had some genuine people there.
Mays was still in his prime, wasn't he?
Very much so.
Thomas, did you play in the old Negro Leagues?
No, I was a little young. I had just gotten there, and I didn't quite make it.
Well, I tell you, Thomas, when we come down to Memphis, please come out. I'll be glad to talk to you when we come out there.
Okay.
All righty?
Have a good day.
Thank you,
Thomas.
Right.
You know, those people deserve an awful lot of credit, and I'm glad to see that it is finally coming to the Negro Leagues.
I got some tapes in my car now. Satchel Paige, Josh Gibson. There's these tapes out, black tapes out, diamond ball, something like that. I haven't listened to them yet. I ordered them just to hear these people talk. I told you the time I met Satchel, I was playing for the Cardinals, and I had a broken leg. So I come out. I was out a whole month to come out and have extra hitting, and Dick Sisler was helping me out. So I went in. Nobody's there but me. I got the hamburger and the eating, and Satchel walks in, and he says, "Young man, they got steaks now." And I didn't realize as such. I looked at him and I said, "Well, yeah, Mr. Page." I was going to say something else, but, you know, it was great to meet the man, the legend, the real legend, I tell you.
Yeah, the legacy of baseball is special. What was the experience like for you with an expansion team, the Marlins, because you were their first base coach?
My second time with expansion team. I was with the Seattle Mariners also in 77.
How did that compare?
No comparison, really. You know, the town, the city, the whole state, it was a love affair down there. Everything worked out pretty good. Of course, you know, when we got the team, we were saying we're building for the future. And we got a little excited after a while because we started winning some ball games. Matter of fact, we won the first game against the Dodgers. And we got a little excited, and I think we sort of forgot it down the line because we said we're building for the future. But it was great. We had a great time. The people were great. The players were great. They were young. And when you look at it, you figure for a first-year team, we were outstanding in the beginning.
How was that compared to Seattle then?
Well, Seattle, we had a lot of older players, you might say, and it just wasn't the same. We had 3 million people, so that tells you different. I don't think we had that many up there in Seattle at the time, though. But it just all boiled down that the people were so fantastic. Come out, it rained every day. Every day it rains, but it stops by game time. And Joe Robbie is this outstanding ballpark because it dries up and just like it's never rained, really. So where you think you're going to get rained out, you don't get rained out. And I think we only got rained out one game for the whole season.
Yeah, one of the things that's interesting about the Seattle situation was that team was actually, I think, sold before they even started the season, their initial season, because they went off to Milwaukee then after just 1 year, wasn't it?
Right. They were the Seattle Pilots.
Right.
Right. And so they took off, and then didn't we come back in? And so we opened up, and we had a dome. I think the Pilots opened up in Six Stadium.
Right.
And so it was different. It was outdoors. So with the Dome Stadium, we open up and everything's fine. They have a new owner up there now, so it's going to work out fine for them now. And they got some exciting ball players up there, too.
But they had one of the great views over the right field fence at Six Stadium, did they not?
Yeah.
No, tell everybody about it. I mean, that mountain used to sit out there, Mount Rainier. And I'll tell you what, I sat in that stadium one time. This was after baseball was gone. And it almost brings tears to your eyes because if you hit one out there, you think it's going to land upside, you know, up there on the slope someplace.
Really, on a beautiful day when it looks like just a painted picture up there. The snow is capped up there all year round, you might say. And you look at it and you said, wow, it just doesn't look right. Well, when Mount St. Helens blew up, We all run out. We were there the second time it blew. First time we were coming in town. So we run out and we look at it, and I'm watching on TV. I said, but Mount Rainier, that's a volcano also. If that ever blows, we're going to have a whole lot of problems.
Yeah, they really are.
Yeah.
You know, you take a look at Miami, and that's a great baseball town. Why did it take so long for them to get baseball down there, do you think? Because to me, that was really a hotbed. You have Florida, which loves baseball, of course, with the spring training camps. And those people, the Latin Americans that are down in that, the Hispanics down in that part of the country, to me, that's a place that baseball should have gone some time ago.
Really, it's really a united nation down there. You know, it's a lot of Latinos. There's no doubt about that. I got to learn how to speak Spanish, too, looks like. But what it all boiled down, I guess they had spring training there a lot. A lot of minor leagues down that area down there. So they never probably thought of it, of having a team really there. Or probably couldn't afford it at the time. Well, you had the Orioles down there in Miami. They were spring training there, and things worked out pretty good. But now they have their own team down there. It's pretty great. It's exciting. We don't have to go that far for spring training. Melbourne, right up the road. And the Yankees are there in spring training there right down in Fort Lauderdale. So it's always baseball. So from February on, constantly, not the baseball.
Yeah. We only got about a minute left, but the legacy of baseball as you see it, do you think it's safe now? I mean, I'm not trying to be overly dramatic about it, but when I hear you talk about it, and as I said, other players from, say, a previous era, there's so much emotionalism about it.
I'm sure the players of the 40s talked about us players in the 50s and the 60s. It'll always be like this, but baseball will be around. The money is the big thing I think people see mostly. That's all they hear about is money, money, money. But every decade, some great star comes along, whatever. And baseball is going to always be there. I'm glad to be a part of it all these years, meeting all the people. That's been my education. This will be my 39th year in the game. I'm an old man. But I'm looking at Michael Jordan. I want to see what he's going to do. That's another story in itself.
18 seasons in the majors, most of those with the Reds. Veda, thank you for coming by. Good to see you again, my friend.
Good seeing you, Ron. Take care, and we'll see you soon.
Yeah. Veda Pinson joining us and you this hour on Sports Byline USA.
We'll take a break, come back on the other side, continue across the country and around the world with you on America's Sports Talk Show.
Get a large two-topping Pizza Hut pizza for just $7.99 when you order online. The only $7.99 deal you can have delivered. It's hands down, feet up, stay in and chill out, the best pizza delivery deal. And to get it, just head to PizzaHut.com. It's a full-on, shoes-off, easy-breezy, hard-to-beat win for your wallet. $7.99 large two-topping pizzas. Because no one out-pizzas the Hut. Ask or click for this limited-time offer. Additional charge for extra cheese, stuffed crust, and additional toppings. Product availability, prices, participation, delivery areas and charges, and minimum purchase required for delivery may vary. Delivery charge is not a driver.
Dish TV is better than cable TV. Why? Because you can save 45% on packages compared to your high-priced cable bill. Wow. Take those giant scissors out and cut the cable and save with Dish TV. Plus, you get a free DVR upgrade to record your favorite shows and free installation. And with Dish Anywhere, you can watch TV for free on your mobile device. Act fast. You can save hundreds of dollars. Does your cable company do that for you? I don't think so. Get all the best TV programming at your fingertips at a fraction of the price of cable TV. So say adios, arrivederci, goodbye to the high cable bill, and save up to 45% on Dish TV packages today. These are limited-time offers and can change at any time. Call fast. 800-405-2561. 800-405-2561. 800-405-2561. That's 800-405-2561.
Attention to anyone that's written a book or wants to write a book. The process is not that complicated. Take a first step. Even if you write a page a day, you'll build momentum and your book will become a reality. The hard part is getting it published. That's when you need to call Page Publishing. They've got hundreds and hundreds of thank yous from different new authors, just like you. They make the process of publishing your new book and getting it sold online a simple process. You can learn how simple it is right now by calling for your free page publishing new author submission kit. One quick 3-minute phone call, that's all it takes to get free information and learn how you can get your book published. Pick up your phone right now and call us 24 hours a day at this number. 800-603-0885. 800-603-0885. 800-603-0885. That's 800-603-0885.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
Don't miss the Ace Buy 2 Get 1 Free paint sale. Now through Monday only, buy 2 gallons of our top paint brands, Valspar, Clark & Kensington, and Royal, and get the 3rd gallon free. That's right, buy 2 gallons, get 1 free. You know what else is free? The help, because the paint experts at your local Ace will take the time to make sure you get everything you need in one trip. Brushes, rollers, tape, everything. Only at Ace. Offer valid through March 20th. Prices may vary. Limit 2 free gallons of equal or lesser value. See participating store for details.
This is America's Sports Talk Show, Sports Byline USA. Here's Ron Barr.
Joining us now on Sports Byline USA is Jerry Kuzman, a member of the 1969 Miracle Mets team, also played with Minnesota, Chicago, Philadelphia, was known for his control throughout his career. Jerry, nice to have you with us tonight on Sports Byline.
Good evening, and it's nice to be with you, Ron.
How do the players break down the season? I've often said that to me, as I evaluate a season, it's usually the first 6 to 8 weeks just to see how they come out of the gate. Then I like to see what a team does directly after the All-Star break to see what changes they may make as far as acquiring players, what attitude changes there may be, and, of course, the final 5 to 6 weeks going into September when there is the drive. Do the players look at it that way when they break it down as well?
I think it's very similar. Pitchers probably look at it a little different than hitters do. As a pitcher, I would look at the season three ways. The spring of the year being the cool weather, the middle of the season being your terrible hot weather and humid weather in a lot of ballparks, and then you're kind of your second wind again, which is getting into the last half of August or September when you start feeling that cool breeze out there and some of the fall weather starting to set in. And it kind of gives you your second wind. You get a little stronger.
Tell me a little bit about your path to the major leagues, because you did start out with the New York Mets, but you were born in Minnesota. Tell me a little bit about the path to the majors, Jerry.
Well, I was born and reared on a farm in western Minnesota with a strong endeavor to play Major League Baseball. And I guess at 13 years old is when I first remember having that dream. And I threw a lot. I had brothers that played, and so I started out as a catcher, catching my older brother, who was a pitcher, because he had to keep his arm in shape all the time. Well, where my career changed, I was a catcher, but where my career changed is one particular day, both of my older brother and I were both playing in the outfield. He was playing center field, I was playing left. Semi-line drive came between us. I called for it, and he didn't hear me, and He collided with me and broke his leg. And even though he wasn't pitching that day, someone else on the team was. I took his spot from then on and became a pitcher. And I was drafted into the Army and played baseball there for 2 years and signed with the Mets while I was in the Army at Fort Bliss, Texas, in El Paso. And my first year was 1965, where I played in Greenville, South Carolina. My second year was with Auburn, New York, in the New York Penn League in 1966. And the next year, I made the big club. And that's when they went north with 28 players, and after a month, they had cut three, trimmed the roster down to 25. And I and Ralph Terry and Greg Goosen were cut. And I went to Jacksonville, Florida, our AAA club, finished the season there, and then went back up to the big club the last month of the season and stayed in the big leagues after that.
Had Phil Niekro with us, and I asked him this question, and I'd certainly like to get your perspective on it as well. How long do you feel it takes, and this is a generality, it takes for a pitcher to become a pitcher, not just a thrower?
Well, everyone's different, but talking on the average, most of your pitchers probably don't become a pitcher until they hurt their arm. I know one of the compliments, or I got many compliments The first time I hurt my arm was, they say, now you're going to become a pitcher because you don't have that ability to just take and throw the fastball by people like you probably did earlier. And it was true with me. Matter of fact, I hurt my shoulder in Candlestick Park pitching in a cold night game there. It was probably about 40 degrees with a 25-mile-an-hour wind blowing on my back, and I tore all my rhomboid muscles on my left side, which are between the shoulder blade and the backbone. And unfortunately, I wasn't able to break a pane of glass when 6 weeks later when I came back. But I broke the adhesions loose and gradually started to throw harder. But I had to really depend on control before I got my strength back and was able to throw hard again.
Is the tendency when you're young and strong is just to put the arm back and just heave the ball, and then after you do hurt yourself? Because I remember I had an arm injury as well. And I was so mentally worried about hurting it again or doing something else. I remember I started thinking about exactly what I was going to be doing with a pitch, where I was going to place it, how I was going to get it up there, and really what I was going to do with the next pitch after I threw this one. And all of a sudden, the light went on in my head, and I said, wait a minute, this is pitching. This isn't throwing.
Well, true. When you're young and you have the ability to throw a good fastball, you want to rely basically on that. That is your number one pitch, and the fastball still is the best pitch in baseball. We were always told that whenever in trouble, go to your best pitch. And fastball pitchers went to their fastball. And your fastball is the pitch that you normally control the best. And when your arm is in shape and thrown as often as we throw, and as old as we are, when I say that, you know, we're over 21 years old. No doubt there might be some kids listening that are early teens, etc. But even then, your fastball is the best and most healthy pitch to throw, and keep throwing it. And where pitchers start to hurt their arms is if they're not loose, have their muscles in shape and get loose properly, or if they start throwing breaking balls that put a lot of stress and strain on their elbow and shoulder. So, yeah, the fastball is the best pitch, and we didn't worry about arm problems until we started to feel a little twinge here or there. And then we'd talk to the trainer, and he would check it out and tell us whether we had a reason to be concerned or if we should baby it for a little bit.
Tell me about the building of the Miracle Mets back in 1969. When did you guys really look at yourselves and say, you know, we may have something special here?
Well, I would say in 1968, when Gil Hodges was there for his first year, it was a fun time. Everybody was loose. He had a lot of fun. He wasn't that strict manager that we had read about in Hawk Harrelson's book. So we just had a lot of fun that year. In 1969, the next year, there would have been a few trades, or not many, but he built the nucleus of the ball club, mixed in with a few veterans, and we started the season off just so-so. And then we went on, we won a game at home in New York, and we went on a West Coast road trip, and we won 9 more games in a row. And that's when we first, and that was in June, and that's when we first really realized that, hey, we could compete with the best here because we just got through playing the Giants and the Dodgers, and we beat them. And we felt, hey, we can compete in this league, and maybe we have a chance of winning it this year. Well, consequently, after that road trip, we played about 500 baseball till about the middle of August, and then we got hot again, kind of that second win time of the year, and just kept rolling, won 100 ball games.
I know when I had Tom Seaver on the show, we were talking about his great career with the Mets and just overall, and it was interesting. He always talked about the catchers and how they helped him along the way. Who did you have as a catcher there in New York at that time?
Well, all of us had Jerry Grody.
That's who I was thinking of. Tom just said he was just outstanding. He was so easy to pitch to. What does a pitcher mean by that?
Well, first of all, when you look at your catcher sitting back there, you're looking at a catcher that is that you want to be comfortable. If he's comfortable, therefore, you have more patience on the mound. If you're looking at a catcher that just has a tough time squatting or doesn't look comfortable back there, he kind of keeps you on edge, and you're probably not relaxed. You're thinking about his comfortability, et cetera. But Jerry Grody was a very comfortable-looking catcher from the pitcher's standpoint, and he moved. moved around back there like a fox, and he was very quick on swinging bunts or bunted balls or going back on pop-ups. I never saw him miss a pop-up. He just had the greatest hands, and people described good catchers that he could catch you with a tweezers, and he just tremendously soft hands and an excellent arm. He was just a very good defensive catcher.
Did you ever shake him off very much, you or Tom, either one?
Well, our first few years when we were, just after we got to the big leagues, and then probably for another 3 or 4 years, we relied a lot on our catcher because we'd go over the hitters in the clubhouse, and we knew what we wanted to do, and pitchers rely a lot on their catchers. Well, as you get a little older and you have more starts, you realize that not every day is your catcher, does he have his A game or on his mind. And once in a while, he may be distracted. And so you have to pick him up. And if he calls a pitch that isn't right for you at that particular time, you have to shake him off and throw the pitch you think is best. But after you get to know each other, you're thinking just really close together. I remember a game, for example, I threw 10 change-ups in it. And each time I wanted to throw a changeup, I looked in for the sign, and there's a changeup coming from Jerry Grody, and that's how close we were thinking.
How in tune you were. Chris, we've got you on Sports Byline with Jerry.
Good evening, Ron and Jerry.
Hi, Chris.
Jerry, it's funny. I get on an awful lot of sports shows, but I have to tell you, at the moment I'm somewhat at a loss for words. I was 8 years old on Long Island. I grew up with Joe Namath and the Miracle Mets, and I can't really express to you how wonderful it was to have those two teams and to be able to grow up with that type of excitement all around us. And you guys really were the ultimate in adversity as far as the way the media portrayed you, despite the fact that you were in reality a very, very sound and well-rounded team. And I guess what I really wanted to ask you was, I know your 69 league championship outing wasn't particularly effective, but you were absolutely spectacular in the both games you pitched in the World Series that year. Was there anything you did differently in the World Series games, or was it just you just simply had a bad outing in the championship?
Well, you're absolutely right about that. The championship series was built up to be a pitching duel against Atlanta. And we go into that series, and the scores were all high. It was unbelievable. The pitchers didn't do their job, and it was a constant hitter's duel every ball game. Why we weren't effective, I don't know. Maybe it was our initiation into a postseason play. I don't know. We were all young. It was our first time. But something happened there where the pitchers didn't do their job. But what was really surprising was the hitters did theirs, and we weren't used to getting that many runs. And it was just, the pitchers were in awe and just kind of starstruck, you might say, because of all the runs we were scoring. It was something that was just the opposite of the way things had went during the season. Then when the World Series started, we got back into our good pitching rhythms and start throwing the good stuff up to the plate again.
Jerry, we only have about 45 seconds, but off of the comments that you have heard tonight, and I know you probably have heard over the years about that 69 Mets ball club, I don't know of a particular season or a team that really generates so much enthusiasm, so many people having feelings or memories about it. Do you feel the same way?
I really do. There's been a lot of good teams and a lot of exciting World Series out there, but wherever I go, it never fails. Someone is going to mention 1969 to me every day. And it's just become so much of a part of my life that it's fun doing these interviews and talking to people, because a lot of times I hear it from a different point of view, and then I'm constantly learning something about that season.
Well, will you come back and join us once again on Sports Byline so we can give some other fans an opportunity to talk to you?
Well, I'd love to.
Thank you. Jerry Kuzman, former left-hander with the 1969 Miracle Mets team, and I got to tell you what, that was one special season in sports. I'm Ron Barr. We'll give you the numbers as we continue with Sports Byline.
Nobody really needs or wants home security until it's too late. You've heard the statistics about how many burglaries there are per day. You see the news. You know there are people out there that do bad things. The best way to help protect your home and your property is with an ADT monitored system from Protect Your Home, an ADT authorized premier provider. Call right now to get a free wireless home security system valued at $850. An ADT monitored system can help protect your home from fires, theft, floods, and call for emergency help. Call now to find out more about our $850 free wireless home security system and start enjoying the peace of mind of security today. Call 800-587-4281, 800-587-4281, 800-587-4281. This offer is for new customers only. Termination fees apply. $99 customer installation charge and 36-month monitoring agreement required. All for details. License terms and conditions available at secureathome.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Robert Clapper, Chief of Orthopedic Surgery at Cedars-Sinai Medical Group in Los Angeles, California. Dedicated to your health, your life, and your sports. As a weekend warrior, you know about sports injuries and pain. Exercise is an important element in keeping your body's core in good shape to minimize sports injuries. But when you are in pain, there is one product that I recommend to my patients, and that is Blue Goo Gel. Blue Goo consists of a proprietary formula developed specifically for the treatment of inflammation and general muscle aches and strains. I recommend Blue Goo for my patients coping with hip and knee pain before surgery, especially bursitis and tendonitis. Give Blue Goo a try. Call 1-888-330-0123 and you'll receive a 1-week supply of Blue Goo absolutely free. The makers of Blue Goo are even paying the shipping. The number again is 1-888-330-0123. If you want more information on Blue Goo, visit online at www.dothegoo.com.
Now available at select Big Five stores near you.
Hey, travelers, do you want to save money on your next flight? Then pick up the phone and call. That's right, call. Because the best prices are not online. They're with SmartFares. See, SmartFares has special deals with the airlines. When they have unsold seats, they use SmartFares to fill them. So you get airline tickets at ridiculously low prices. Our prices are too low to publish online. With the extra money you'll save, you can book another trip or treat yourself to dinner or shopping. So stop searching all of those travel sites to find the lowest price on your next flight. Let one of our SmartFares expert travel agents find ridiculously low prices for you. Call SmartFares today and get the best price on your next flight. Guaranteed. Also, save up to 50% off business and first class tickets.
855-325-1780. 855-325-1780. That's 855-325-1780.
This is America's Sports Talk Show, Sports Byline USA. Here's Ron Barr.
Another check of the numbers in the West Regional. It was West Virginia 86, Bucknell 80. Notre Dame beats Princeton, but only by a buck at 60-58. But number 6, Maryland, upset by number 11, Xavier, 76-65. St. Mary's knocks off VCU, 85-77. Also the top seed in the West, Gonzaga, beating 16th-seeded South Dakota State, 66-46. And Northwestern, 68, number 9, Vanderbilt, 66. In the Midwest Regional, Purdue beats Vermont, 80-70, while over in the East Regional, number 4, Florida, 80-65, better than East Tennessee. Virginia, 76, University of North Carolina, Wilmington, 71. Also, Villanova over number 16, Mount St. Mary, 76-56. Number 4, Butler beats Winthrop, 76-64. But fifth-seeded Minnesota knocked off by Middle Tennessee State, 81-72. In the NBA, Cleveland is a winner. Also, Oklahoma City. Westbrook, another triple-double, is 34th of the season, 123-102 over Toronto. The Knicks, 110. Brooklyn, 121. And Memphis, 103. Atlanta, 91. And that's your sports update.
Patroni Vineyards produces Paggio Ella Pietra, California's first gold medal-winning Sangiovese Grosso grape, cloned from Italy's Brunello di Montesino. To enjoy Paggio Ella Pietra's rich, seductive flavors, visit PatroniVineyards.com and become a wine club member today.
Interesting hour talking a little bit of baseball. I hope you enjoyed it. Jerry Kuzman, of course, played with the Mets, and again, third leading winner as far as a pitcher for the New York Mets. And we shared with you our interview with the late Veda Pinson. He passed away back in 1995, and yet a very wonderful gentleman, also a heck of a baseball player as well. Remember, you can hear Sports Byline USA on Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your iPhone, Android phone, or WebOS phones on demand and on the go. So download it for free at Stitcher.com or in the app stores. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio. I'm Ron Barr. Good to have you with us here on America's Sports Talk Show.
If you missed something from today's show, you can find it now on iHeartRadio Talk. That's iHeartRadio.com/talk. A special news and update station you control. Follow us on iHeartRadio Talk and stay in touch 24/7.
USA Radio News with Jules McKinney.
After Florida's state attorney said she would not seek the death penalty for accused cop killer Markeith Lloyd, Governor Rick Scott reassigned the case to another prosecutor. Lloyd is charged with killing Orlando Police Master Sergeant Deborah Clayton outside a Walmart back in January. Here's Orlando Police Deputy Chief.
This decision by the state attorney has law enforcement nationwide questioning her actions. The members of the Orlando Police Department are in total disagreement in her decision.
Before being removed from the case, the state's attorney general also said she didn't believe there's any evidence the death penalty protects the public. In other news, a derogatory tweet toward President Trump has McDonald's scrambling. The fast food giant says it's investigating after a tweet on its corporate account attacked Donald Trump this morning. The company has since deleted that tweet. This is USA Radio News.
All right, water. We've heard about problems in Michigan and other places, and we know about that Harvard study that showed that 33 states have unsafe levels of harmful toxins in their drinking water. And let's be honest, when you travel, sometimes water just tastes plain weird. Haven't you ever gone on a trip and you taste the water and it's like, ew, you're just not used to whatever's in that water? Well, the Alexa Pure Pitcher reduces up to 99.9% of 92 contaminants, things like chlorine and chromium-6, lead, pharmaceutical drugs that get into the water, and more. It tastes so good, the water that goes through this pitcher. We keep it right on the counter because we don't like our water chilled, so it just sits there right next to the faucet. We fill it up. It's so simple to use. Go to waterwithangie.com, waterwithangie.com, or call 888-440-8150. You know, after that Harvard study came out that showed that 33 states have unsafe levels of harmful toxins in the drinking water, I wanted to make sure that my family was getting pure drinking water. Alexa Pure Pitcher, check it out, waterwithangie.com or 888-440-8150.
President Trump is proposing to slash out about a third of the funding for the State Department in the budget for fiscal year 2018. Here's Office of Management and Budget Director Mick Mulvaney with details.
The largest reduction, if you've seen the budget already, is a 31% reduction within the Environmental Protection Agency. The next largest reduction on a percentage basis is within Department of State, and the other departments are reduced in lesser amounts. I think the smallest reduction we have is NASA, which is just less than 1%.
Meanwhile, White House spokesman Sean Spicer says President Trump stands by his belief that former President Obama ordered wiretapping at Trump Tower last fall. Reporters questioned Spicer on that belief.
First of all, he stands by it, but again, you're mischaracterizing what happened today.
The top two members of the Senate Intelligence Committee said today they've seen no indications that Trump Tower was the subject of surveillance. This is USA Radio News.
Love sports articles but don't have time to search the web looking for the most compelling stories? Then US Sports Pages is for you. Why spend hours going to multiple sites looking to find sports articles when we can do the work for you? Our producers go through every newspaper in the country and pick out the best sports articles separated by sport, dramatically reducing your prep time. We also include sports and entertainment kicker stories. USSportsPages.com is the only site you'll need to get your sports fix. Check us out today, the daily links at USSportsPages.com.
President Trump is celebrating St. Patrick's Day by pointing out the contributions of Irish Americans.
Throughout the centuries, hardworking Irish Americans contributed mightily to America's innovation and to America's prosperity. They often overcame great hardship.
In a White House ceremony with Irish Prime Minister Enda Kenny, Trump noted that Irish Americans played a key role in the Civil War. He also said America can use the confidence of the Irish to continue to grow stronger than ever before. Humpback whales are doing something that has scientists scratching their heads. Lisa Carter explains.
Something unusual is happening off the coast of South Africa. Huge numbers of humpback whales are congregating, some in groups from 20 to 200, and it has the experts stumped. Scientists used to say a gathering of 10 to 20 was large, but this new activity doesn't have a scientific answer. The journal PLOS ONE says humpbacks aren't even supposed to be in tropical waters. They migrate to tropical waters to breed, but typically leave to feed in the icy waters of Antarctica. There's also speculation the humpbacks are making a comeback since they've become a protected species.
And in sports, Middle Tennessee and Northwestern are moving on to the second round of the NCAA tournament. They join Florida, West Virginia, Gonzaga, Butler, Notre Dame, and Virginia in the round of 32. For USA Radio News, I'm Jules McKinney.
Listen closely. You don't have to live with knee pain. You heard right. If you're 65 or older and suffering from knee pain, you may qualify for an advanced pain-relieving brace at little to no cost to you. Doctor Approved Medical, America's trusted resource for knee braces, will work with Medicare or insurance benefits to see if you qualify for these knee braces. Many people are now using our knee brace as an alternative to surgery or harmful medications and experience pain relief they haven't felt in years. The only way to see if you qualify is to call us. 800-816-0365. One of our friendly experts will handle all paperwork and have it delivered for free. Don't let your knee pain turn into something worse. Find out now about these advanced knee braces now covered by Medicare or insurance benefits. Call now and get free shipping, plus a complimentary, easy-to-use pedometer. 800-816-0365. 800-816-0365. 800-816-0365. Little to no cost with full insurance payment, copay, and deductible supply promo subject to qualification while supplies last.
Live, worldwide, Sports Byline USA. And here's host, Ron Barr.
And wherever you might be across this great country of ours and around the world, I'm Ron Barr. Good to have you with us for another hour of America's Sports Talk Show. We're going to be talking with a former NFL linebacker. I'll tell you who that is in just a second. How have you enjoyed today? Did you ever get off the couch except for maybe to go in and get a sandwich and a beer and hit a pit stop? Boy, I love this type of day when it comes to sports. It starts early in the morning, especially if you're out here on the West Coast, and it continues until late at night, opening day of March Madness. A couple of surprises. We're going to be talking football with Chad Brown in just a second, a former NFL lineman who played 15 seasons with the Pittsburgh Steelers and then 8 years with Seattle and a couple of years with New England. And, of course, he played for some very interesting coaches, Bill Cowher at Pittsburgh, Mike Holmgren at Seattle, and Bill Belichick, of course, at New England. So I'm going to talk to him about the differences between them and also the similarities as well. He was a second-round pick in the draft by the Steelers after playing his college ball at Colorado, where he was a four-year starter. And the other thing is that he also played on the national championship team for Bill McCartney there in 1990. And if you remember about that college football season, it was an interesting one. First of all, Colorado had a rematch with Notre Dame for the national championship. They won it the second time around 10-9. But during the course of that season, they finished up 11-1 in that championship season. And in that season, they lost that one game to the University of Illinois by 1 point. And they were also involved in a game against Missouri, which they call the fifth down game. And we'll explain that during the course of talking to Chad Brown. But he's also a very interesting person. He has a lot of interest that is just about as unique as I've ever seen in any player that I've ever talked to in the National Football League. I don't know whether you saw this story or not, but this year's MVP race is close, complicated, and divisive. The four main candidates are Houston Rockets guard James Harden, Oklahoma City Thunder guard Russell Westbrook, San Antonio Spurs Kawhi Leonard, and Cleveland Cavaliers forward LeBron James. And on a recent broadcast, MVP Steph Curry weighed in picking Harden because of the Rockets' record this season, and apparently Westbrook didn't like it. He says, has anybody told you Curry shared this opinion that it should be Harden because of where the Rockets are in the standings? And he responded, I don't care. Chad Brown next on Sports Byline.
Nobody really needs or wants home security until it's too late. You've heard the statistics about how many burglaries there are per day. You see the news. You know there are people out there that do bad things. The best way to help protect your home and your property is with an ADT monitored system from Protect Your Home, an ADT authorized premier provider. Call right now to get a free wireless home security system valued at $850. An ADT monitored system can help protect your home from fires, theft, floods, and call for emergency help. Call now to find out more about our $850 free wireless home security system and start enjoying the peace of mind of security today. Call 800-587-4281, 800-587-4281, 800-587-4281. This offer is for new customers only. Termination fees apply. $99 customer installation charge and 36-month monitoring agreement required. All for details. License terms and conditions available at secureathome.com.
Tired of calls, levies, and liens from the IRS or hiring others who don't get the job done? Call Wall & Associates and you'll never talk to the IRS again. The IRS has a program to eliminate tax debt, and Wall & Associates professionals are trained to maximize its benefits for you. You always speak with a live person with real support and real knowledge. We've helped thousands of taxpayers like you settle their tax debt with the IRS for a fraction of what they owe. We solve tax problems. Call Wall & Associates now, 800-480-5708. We have the professionals who know how to solve tax problems. If you owe money to the IRS, your tax problems are not going away by themselves, and the passage of time will only make matters worse. Act now, before it's too late. Call Wall & Associates right now to speak to a professional tax relief agent. Call 800-480-5708. That's 800-480-5708. Again, 800-480-5708.
Not too long ago, it felt good to withdraw your cash from the bank, didn't it? For a vacation or a new car. But today, withdrawing your own cash has become risky. Pat Boone here for Swiss America. According to The Secret War, a new Swiss America white paper, I learned that all banks are now required to spy on you and me for the government, and then report any financial behavior deemed suspicious or unusual. You must read The Secret War. It's free. Truth is, I believe the government's new war against cash is really a war against us all. But the secret is now out. So please, get and read The Secret War.
Pick up your phone and call right now. 800-932-5517. 800-932-5517. 800-932-5517. Once again, that's 800-932-5517.
This is America's Sports Talk Show, Sports Byline USA. Here's Ron Barr.
Chad Brown joins us on Sports Byline, former NFL linebacker who played 15 seasons with Pittsburgh, Seattle, and New England, and he went to high school down in Southern California. He was a second-round pick in the draft by the Steelers after playing his college ball at Colorado as a four-year starter there, and he became an important part of what they called the Blitzburg defense, and he started at the right side, a linebacker position in Super Bowl number 30 for the Steelers in the loss to the Dallas Cowboys. I was interested, how does a kid from Southern California, Chad, get to the University of Colorado to play his college football?
Well, Coach McCartney, the head coach of Colorado Buffaloes at that time, was really honing in on Southern California. Most of the student population, the out-of-state student population at the University of Colorado, comes from California. So it was kind of a natural tie to go out and get athletes from that area because so many of the students were coming from that area. And the 2 years before I signed, they got J.J. Flanagan, who in California was the best running back coming out of California. Then the year before me, they signed George Hemingway and Eric Bieniemy, two of the best running backs coming out of California the year before me. So I began to hear some of this recruiting buzz about Colorado and what they were building out there. And if anybody has ever had a chance to listen to Coach McCartney or hear him on television, once he gets on your parents' couch and starts explaining his vision for you, you know, at the University of Colorado and the greatness that he's going to, you know, propel you to, he's a very convincing recruiter. He was able to get me to the University of Colorado. And, in fact, my mother, her sister had just moved to Colorado maybe a year or two before. And from my mother's perspective, she thought this would be great. You'll be out of state. You have some family close by. And you have this tremendous man in Coach McCartney who has guaranteed us that he will be just like us, just like your parents watching over you while you're at the University of Colorado.
I've heard that echoed many times about Coach McCartney, and I had a friend of mine who, Irving Fryer, who ended up at Nebraska, and I said, wait a minute, you grew up and spent your time in New Jersey. How did you end up in Nebraska? And Irving said to me, he said, the day I did my recruiting trip, he said, it was snowing like hell, and I don't know how I ended up there, but I will tell you, Coach came into our home, which was not a particularly nice home, and he spent time and he talked to my mother, and if he can get the mother, he can get the player.
That's typically how that goes. And again, Coach McCartney was just fantastic. I had a number of great head coaches come through my house. Lavelle Edwards from BYU, head coach from USC, UCLA came by. So they were not just in awe of a major college coach, but Coach McCartney and his recruiting prowess stood head and shoulders above everyone else.
When you think about the pitch that goes to kids, and everybody hears a pitch from a coach, you know, offering different things as far as education, a chance to start and everything, what was it that made Bill stand out to you?
The vision that he's able to sell you on. I think sometimes coaches come in and kind of give you some platitudes about, you know, hopefully you'll start by your second season and a degree from, you know, XYZ University is really going to be helpful in your life. And it just kind of feels very scripted. Whereas Coach McCartney had a way of making it seem very personal. So he had a vision set for you that he would explain to you that halfway through it, you were really beginning to buy in. And he used the phrase that coming to the University of Colorado is going to be a springboard for the rest of your life. And at 17 or 18 years old, you don't know what the rest of your life looks like, but he was able to convince me that coming to Colorado would be just that for me. And it could not have been a better choice and a more accurate prediction from Coach McCartney. From a football perspective, I came to University of Colorado. He said, we're going to win Big Eight titles while you're there. We won four Big Eight titles while I was there. You know, we're going to compete for a national championship. We played in a bowl game that had national championship implications twice while I was there. You know, you're going to fall in love with the state of Colorado. I still lived here to this day. No matter where I played in the NFL, I always came back to Colorado in the offseason. You're most likely going to meet your spouse. I'm still married to the girl who I met at the University of Colorado. So all those vision things he laid out for me have actually come true. So I'm not sure if it was the power of suggestion or if he actually has some Nostradamus in him and was able to predict my future.
As I mentioned, a four-year starter at Colorado. Let me take you back to the 1990 Colorado team because they win the national championship. You had an outstanding offense. You scored 338 points while the defense allowed just 160 points. Take me through that season. What were the key signposts to that season? Because you only lost one game, and that was by 1 point to Illinois. And then, of course, you had the very interesting game against Missouri.
That season really began the year before in the loss to Notre Dame in the Orange Bowl. So the year before, the 1989 season, we were undefeated that season going into that Orange Bowl against Notre Dame. But the lack of big game experience on our part, you know, we were just kind of beginning to understand what it meant to win big games and how you go out and win those type of games. So to play that Notre Dame team, which was far more experienced in those type of scenarios, we really got shown, you know, what big game football was all about. So that 1990 season was really set up by that loss to Notre Dame the year before. So that season, we started the season 1-1-1. We had a tie the first game of the season against Tennessee in the Pigskin Classic out in Disneyland out in Anaheim, California. We had the loss to Illinois, and I think we beat maybe Colorado State or somebody like that, somebody who wasn't very a very tough opponent. So our hopes of getting back into a game which would have national championship implications was really kind of lost at that point. So Coach McCarty had a meeting before we headed down to Texas for week four. And, you know, what do you call it, a come-to-Jesus meeting, if you're a religious person like Coach McCartney was, or, you know, I just kind of saw it as a venting and yelling session. Normally, the meeting before we got on the plane or got on the bus to head to the plane was about a 15-minute meeting to kind of set the tone for the trip. This ended up being about an hour-and-a-half meeting where Coach McCartney really got into everyone. Very personal things about their play, what they were doing, their commitment levels, the whole thing. Ran down almost the entire squad. I was one of the last guys who he called out in that meeting. And he said, "Chad, out of everybody, you've hurt me the worst." And for a person that you respect, you know, I held Coach McCartney in very high esteem. For him to say that to me, you know, my jaw just dropped. And I'm like, what is he going to say to me? He's like, "I don't think your heart is in it." And I've played football since I was 6 years old by that point. And you know, it was kind of my identity. And for someone to call out my football character in that way was very real, very deep, very powerful moment for me. And I made a vow as soon as that meeting was over that no one will ever question my football character again. What kind of passion I bring, what kind of emotion I bring, how hard I play this game. No one will question that ever again. And for me, you know, that next game against Texas the next night, I ended up having 20 tackles that game, and that kind of really started my CU career off on the right track. So that Texas game was really the turning point of that season, which I said before, it kind of started the year before with that loss to Notre Dame. And after that Texas game, we went on an incredible roll. And the number of amazing players we had on that team, so often practice was tougher than so many of the ball games. I think of the 11 starters on the field for that Orange Bowl where we won the national championship against Notre Dame, I think all 11 starters at some point played in the NFL at least for a season or two. So the incredible amount of talent we had made the practices very competitive, not just from an offense-defense perspective, but also from a perspective of I want to outcompete the other linebackers, and I want my linebacker group to outcompete the defensive backs, and they want to outcompete the defensive line. So it was a great group to be around that was hardened and toughened through a tough early stretch of that season that got on the roll after that game versus Texas.
We only have 1 minute left before we have to break here, but what do you remember most about the national championship game against Notre Dame in which you beat them 10-9?
Obviously, the revenge factor was huge, them beating us the year before, now us coming back and beating them. The fact that we were able to kind of, you know, the demons of the season before, able to kind of put those to rest and win that game. And just the pure elation. I was lucky enough to win back-to-back championships at high school in California. But you go home to mom and dad when you're playing in high school. When you're in college, these are literally your brothers. You room with somebody who plays football. You eat with somebody who plays football. You go to class with somebody who plays football. So to achieve that for the first time at the University of Colorado, a national championship with my brothers, these guys who I spent all my time with, made it such a special, special experience.
Chad Brown is with us again, former NFL linebacker who played 15 seasons with Pittsburgh, 8 with Seattle, and a couple with New England as well. He was a second-round pick in the draft by the Steelers. And we will talk a little bit more about his NFL career. Plus, I want to get into his parents, the way he was brought up, and some of the things that he's interested in. He is somebody who is very, very unique. We continue across the country and around the world. We've got you on Sports Byline.
This is a health warning from Doctor Approved Medical, America's trusted resource for back braces. If you're 65 or older and suffering from back pain, you may qualify to receive an advanced pain-relieving back brace at little or no cost to you. Many people are now using our pain-relieving back brace as an alternative to surgery or harmful medications and experience pain relief that they haven't felt in years. Don't let your back pain turn into something worse. Remember, if you qualify for no money out of pocket, there's nothing to lose and only real pain relief to gain. Our friendly team of experts will handle all paperwork and we'll deliver it for free. Just call 800-507-1148. Your pain-relieving back brace may be covered by Medicare at little or no cost to you. Call our hotline now and get free shipping, plus a complimentary, easy-to-use pedometer. 800-507-1148. 800-507-1148. 800-507-1148. Little to no cost with full insurance payment, copay, and deductible supply promo subject to qualification while supplies last.
The following update is for drivers who pay too much for car insurance due to DUIs, DWIs, tickets, or anything else. By now, you know all too well that SR22 auto insurance is way more than you'd ever want to pay. You probably thought you didn't have a choice, but you were wrong. Our company specializes in low-cost, very affordable SR22 auto insurance for high-risk drivers. We know that mistakes happen, so take pride in being able to offer absolutely free quotes for this very affordable auto insurance meant specifically for you, the overpaying high-risk driver. We're standing by at 800-758-0725. The only thing you need to do is stop waiting around while your monthly payments stay as high as they are. Our knowledgeable representatives are ready for your call at 800-758-0725. The quote is free, and we'll even handle the filings so you could start saving money every month even sooner. Call 800-758-0725. That's 800-758-0725. Once more, 800-758-0725.
Dish TV is better than cable TV. Why? Because you can save 45% on packages compared to your high-priced cable bill. Wow. Take those giant scissors out and cut the cable and save with Dish TV. Plus, you get a free DVR upgrade to record your favorite shows and free installation. And with Dish Anywhere, you can watch TV for free on your mobile device. Act fast. You can save hundreds of dollars. Does your cable company do that for you? I don't think so. Get all the best TV programming at your fingertips at a fraction of the price of cable TV. So say adios, arrivederci, goodbye to the high cable bill, and save up to 45% on Dish TV packages today. These are limited time offers and can change at any time. Call fast. 800-405-2561. 800-405-2561. 800-405-2561. That's 800-405-2561.
This is America's Sports Talk Show, Sports Byline USA. Here's Ron Barr.
Chad Brown with us on Sports Byline USA. He went to the University of Colorado, had an outstanding career then, and he was selected in the second round in the draft by the Pittsburgh Steelers after playing his ball at Colorado. What did you expect the NFL to be like, and how was it similar to or different from what you thought, Chad?
I think when you come into the league, you're just naive that these are grown men who you're going to be playing with and competing against, and it's a real true profession. So I think I came in just thinking it was going to be similar to college, maybe just a slight step up in play. The reality was, you know, it's no longer amateur, it's professional football, and I had a lot to learn about how to be a professional.
You know, it's interesting. You played for Pittsburgh with Bill Cowher. You played in Seattle along the way with Mike Holmgren, and also in New England, of course, for Bill Belichick. What's the commonality all those coaches have?
All great coaches, very, very different styles, very different styles. Bill Cowher wants his teams to go out and overwhelm people with how hard they play. Mike Holmgren, you've seen him with the glasses, kind of very professorial on the sideline. He wants you to go out there and be able to execute this, you know, this style and this system that he has. And for Bill Belichick, it's always continually morphing, but his base to his whole football team, it really is about teaching guys how to make the right play. every situation, there's the right play to make. Maybe it's not the athletic play, it's not the spectacular play, but there's a right play for all 11 guys on the field in each situation, and that's what he constantly works to teach his teams to do, how to make that right play.
The late Bill Walsh was a very good friend of mine. I was the Stanford broadcaster for their football team down there when he came on down there the first time, and I just marveled at the way he knew how to dictate the tempo of the game, not react to the other team's tempo. But he also had the ability to push the buttons emotionally on his players. And I sense that with all three of the coaches we just talked about, they had that capability as well because of the success of their teams. Am I correct about that? And how did each do it in their own way?
Well, yeah, they're three very different guys. But yeah, emotion and passion is a huge part of football. I think the team that executes better but still plays with a incredibly high level of emotion is typically the team that's going to win the game. The Pittsburgh Steelers, with their very aggressive style, you talked about me being a part of that Blitzburg defense when I was there. Emotion was a huge part of that. We wanted to just, you know, almost frighten the other team with how hard we wanted to play. And Bill Cowher would always have very fiery pregame speeches, and even during the week, he would kind of set the tone each day with some type of passion, fiery speech. Mike Holmgren, again, it was a lot more about execution, but again, you're playing football. It's a pretty savage game out there, so passion and emotion has to be a part of that. And Bill Belichick would always show us tapes on Monday after the game, because you can clearly tell when a team is playing with passion and emotion. Whenever someone makes a play, if there's five or six teammates rushing over to congratulate him, that means the team's playing with passion and emotion, as opposed to somebody making a good play and no one goes and pats him on the helmet or smacks him on the butt. That team's not playing with that type of emotion. So he was always very cognitive of the emotional state of the team and trying to get us to play with a high emotional level.
One of the things I've also found, and correct me if you think I'm wrong, Chad, about this, is that teams take on the personalities of where they play, the city that they play in, the region that they play in. And I've talked to some of the other Pittsburgh Steelers over the years, and I've said, you know, Pittsburgh is known as a blue-collar town, the steel mills around there and everything, and you guys reflected that. Am I correct in that observation?
You are absolutely correct. For the Pittsburgh Steelers, the Seattle teams and the New England teams, I think there's a certain cultural identity that's common to those areas, but it's not the same interwovenness that you have with the Pittsburgh Steelers. You know, kids in Pittsburgh, they grow up wearing Steeler diapers and getting their faces wiped with Steeler bibs, and they sleep on Steeler sheets. And for Halloween, they put on Steeler jerseys. So the identity of the city and the identity of the team are so tightly interwoven together. You know, out of all the franchises in the NFL, it's hard to imagine some of the more iconic franchises moving. I don't think the Steelers could ever leave Pittsburgh because it's just so tightly interwoven and tightly mixed into that city. The blue-collar style, the hard-working style, the very lunch-pail kind of style, it's a part of the Steelers. It's a part of the Pittsburgh area as well.
Let me take you back to Super Bowl 30. The Cowboys beat the Pittsburgh Steelers 27-17, and of all the Super Bowls I've either covered or I've watched, that is the one that sticks with me because, you know, usually one team will dominate or one team will win on a key play or something. But for you guys, you had that game won, except for the interceptions. And I just wonder from a player's perspective, because you all work your butts off just to have the opportunity to play in a game like that, how difficult is it to accept something like an ending for the reasons that that game ended with a Dallas win?
When you win the championship game and you get your berth into the Super Bowl, losing is not on your mind. You are expecting to win the Super Bowl. So I would say it took me 10 years after that Super Bowl to finally be okay with having gone to the Super Bowl and lost instead of just not gone at all. Because that's how deep that pain is when you lose a Super Bowl. I stood on the field after that game and I watched the Cowboys celebrate, you know, vowing to be back. It just didn't work out for me that way. And having won championships in high school and Pop Warner and a national championship in Colorado, in my mind, it was just natural and inevitable that I was going to win a Super Bowl championship. Just was not in the cards for me.
Yeah, Marv Levy said to me when I asked him about going to four Super Bowls and not winning any of them, he said, well, That's one way to look at it. The other is that, well, at least we got a chance four different times. And I really admire that, because I think the positive attitude is something that everybody has to have no matter what the outcome is on something like that.
Yeah, it took me 10 years to kind of come into that Marv Levy approach of, yeah, hey, we were a tremendous team. We got to the final game, and we had a chance to win the game, and the ball just didn't bounce our way. But for 10 years, it was tough. And each year before the Super Bowl, the NFL Network always replays the old Super Bowls. And it's inevitable I'm watching the NFL Network. I will catch that Super Bowl, and I'll sit down and I'll watch it, and I'll still expect us to find a way to win, and we never do. I get disappointed every time.
I have a very interesting quote from here, and I have to get it explained by you. What many people don't know is the answer you once wrote on a survey for the Colorado Publicity People. And the sentence that you needed to complete was, "People don't know this about me." And you replied, "I hate football."
When you're in college, you're figuring yourself out. And to be kind of branded and stamped as a football player, it was something that I was uncomfortable with, because I've got lots of interest in it, and I do lots of things, away from football. And those three words, didn't clearly say what I was trying to say. I truly love football. I love the game. I love what it has meant to me. I love the lessons that the game has taught me. But I didn't like being branded as just a football player, because, in college you're exploring so many sides of yourself, and I didn't like being pigeonholed in just one way. I wanted people to look at me beyond what I did when I was wearing that black and gold uniform.
You also had a very interesting and introspective response to a question about how people change. You say once you went into the National Football League and you were making the big money, people say money changes you, but it doesn't change you so much as it changes people's perspective of you. Having everybody you know and everybody you meet know what you got in your check, everybody's perspective has changed. That's going to happen, but was it hard for you to adapt a little bit to knowing that that's going to be the case with people?
Yeah, and there's certain friendships and relationships that really have not been the same since that moment. So I remember that day when I signed the big deal with the Seattle Seahawks, and I was the biggest defensive free agent that year. So obviously my deal got a lot of publicity, and people knew, how much I made and the deal was. I said to my wife that day, our lives are going to change. And I knew then that it was more than just the financial implications, that relationships were going to change and friendships were going to change and expectations upon us were going to change. And, I certainly have no interest in giving the money back. Thank you very much, Paul Allen, the Seahawks. My family enjoys the financial security. But I do miss out on some of those relationships and the purity that it was before, and things aren't just so pure anymore.
We've got about a minute and a half left before we have to break again. I thought it was interesting what your mother, Marcia, said. He wants to be known for more than football. That's just one facet of a multifaceted person. And I suppose we do label people or label situations, do we not? How do you get away from that if you don't want to be labeled?
It is difficult. Wherever I go, people want to talk and to me about football. I mean, that's why I'm on this interview with you. The football thing is obviously huge. So you want to be able to, give people what they're looking for, which is some football, questions and answers and all that kind of stuff. But also along the way, explain a little bit more about yourself and your outside interest that hopefully can grab some of their interest as well. Because life is more than what happens on that field. And you play football. I played a long time. I played till I was 37 years old. But hopefully I'll live till I'm 80. So I'll have non-football for more of my life than I've had football. And I'd like to be known for things other than what I accomplished when I was on that field.
Chad Brown is with us. We're talking about his career. But when we come back on the other side, we're going to talk about the personal side. He has a very interesting interest. It deals with snakes. And we'll talk about that and other aspects of his very interesting life.
Hey there. there. Did you know that with a bachelor's degree, on average, you could make almost twice as much over a lifetime than a person with just a high school diploma? It's true. According to the 2012 U.S. Census Bureau, college grads with a bachelor's degree make almost twice as much as high school grads. Now, going back to school is easier than ever at Independence University. Log on and complete coursework from the park or the beach or even your couch watching the kids. And Independence University gives you the tools, a free tablet and laptop for undergrad students to use and keep when they graduate. That's right. Get a laptop so you can go to college from anywhere. Take the first step to a new career in business, information technology, healthcare, or graphic arts. Call to find the online degree program that's right for you, and you could be on your way to increasing your earning potential.
800-797-1256. 800-797-1256. That's 800-797-1256.
Rebuild or replace transmission, $3,200. Anti-lock brake system, $1,000. Rebuild or replace engine, $2,400. Truth is, once your manufacturer's warranty runs out, it's all on you. Every last cent. Get protection for covered repairs with a vehicle service contract from Toco Warranty. Unlike other companies, with Toco, there's no down payment, and the monthly payments are really affordable. Not sure how long you're keeping your car? At Toco, you can pay as you go. Keep your hard-earned cash and call Toco Warranty right now at 800-222-2313 to save big money on covered auto repairs. Prices vary by vehicle, but for about the cost of a tank of gas per month, a Toco plan has your back on expensive covered car repairs. Monthly payments are very affordable. Get your free quote now. Call Toco at 800-222-2313. That's 800-222-2313. 800-222-2313. Cancellation fee may apply. Subject to eligibility. Not available in Missouri and Washington. Waiting period and deductible apply. Coverage provided and administered by Warrantech Corporation or its affiliates. Not affiliated with any manufacturer or dealership. Visit TocoWarranty.com for complete terms and conditions.
If you or someone you love suffers from drug addiction, now is the time to utilize your private health insurance PPO plan. If eligible, receive up to $30,000 or more in substance abuse benefits with low or no out-of-pocket cost. We are the National Treatment Network, the premier drug and alcohol treatment referral service operating 24/7. We help connect you with facilities nationwide that accepts PPO private health insurance for substance abuse. If you have PPO substance abuse coverage and you need immediate admittance to a medical detox or residential rehab treatment center, call us now. Call our live referral helpline today. The call is free. This program is not available to Medicare or Medicaid customers.
Call 800-296-0906. 800-296-0906. 800-296-0906. That's 800-296-0906.
This is America's Sports Talk Show, Sports Byline USA. Here's Ron Barr.
Chad Brown is with us here on Sports Byline USA. 15 seasons in the National Football League with Pittsburgh, Seattle, and New England. And I alluded to it before the break, and your parents, one, your father is black, your mother is white, and they both challenged you to develop a curiosity to learn more about the world afar. Tell me a little bit about that.
I'm not exactly sure what their desire or goal was, but I was certainly, given just from their different backgrounds, a very, wide range of experiences to go back and visit my dad's parents and, right outside of Philadelphia, very different upbringing than my mother's parents in Southern California, different foods, different flavors, different games that you play when you get together as a family. So very, different experiences. But I think one of the most profound things, it sounds very simple, is my dad got a subscription to National Geographic, I think when I was 6 years old. And, each month I couldn't wait to get the newest issue and really, transport myself from Altadena, California to all these amazing places around the world that National Geographic does such a great job of, telling the stories and the amazing photographs. So I think that's really what started the desire to, realize that the world is bigger than just Altadena, California. The world is just bigger than just football. There's a whole amazing world out there, and I want to know about it, experience it, see it, touch it, taste it, all that.
You know, one of the things I find out interesting about that is I grew up in a military family, so we lived around the world, and I always felt it was a it was an advantage. I know Ronnie Lott and I have talked about this because he came from an Army family, and we were all very versatile because we had to move maybe every year, every other year, and we met people of different cultures, and we grew up kind of comfortable with that. But most people, I think, like the comfort of what they know. Is that a fair statement to say?
I think so, but you know, my wife grew up in a military family, so very similar background to yours.
Mm-hmm.
Began to, you know, had the ability to make friends and fit in everywhere she went. And my kids bounced around with me as I played in the NFL, and they talk about now how that was such an advantage for them, looking back, the ability to make friends, the ability to quickly blend in and get into a group and assimilate themselves into, you know, a very different culture in New England than, versus what they had in Seattle. So I think there's a great advantages to kind of that upraising.
What I admire you about is that as a child, you once picked up the book Zen and the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance just because it looked interesting. What made it interesting to you?
This is the concept of Zen, and here's a guy who, you know, traveled on this motorcycle, and along the way, you know, this motorcycle became the vehicle for him to experience these things. So he had to maintain that motorcycle to do all those things that he did and see all the things that he did. I've always been a voracious reader, and, you know, with as a child, it was a weekly visit to the library. So outside of the monthly National Geographic that came, my parents took me to the library about once a week, very consistently. So, you know, just picking up strange titles like that because they sound interesting, it was such a part of my childhood. And it really broadened my horizons and changed my perspective on, you know, again, life is much bigger than my little hometown of Altadena, California.
You've been very interested in reptiles and also snakes from a long time, even going back to your days at the University of Colorado. How did that come about?
That fascination with the natural world in Altadena, California, there's hillsides and canyons and lots of kind of wild areas. So the chance as a kid to go out and collect snakes and lizards and turtles and see them out in the wild and frogs and all those types of things and have an appreciation. By the time I got into college, you know, I was really fascinated by the natural world. There's very few wild animals that you can bring into your dorm room. So I brought a couple of snakes in. The University of Colorado dorm system wasn't very happy about that. but it was a lifelong fascination that turned into a hobby that later on turned into a business.
And what was the reaction from your fellow classmates and others in your dorm?
There was a fascination. You know, there's certainly a snake phobia that lots of people have. That I think they are culturally taught to be afraid of snakes. And depending on where you come from, that's probably some pretty wise advice where you come from a place where there's lots of venomous snakes. But for the most part, there was a fascination, an understanding. And then these were pet snakes. These were not wild animals that were striking and biting everywhere. They were very friendly animals. And it was a great way to introduce my friends, some of my teammates, to these amazing creatures, you know, very prehistoric. But here we are, you know, in this case, in my dorm room in 1990, they get a chance to hold this prehistoric animal that's such a very different life form. No eyelids, no legs, no arms, no hands, but manages to get along just fine out there in the natural world.
Chad, you're well-traveled, and you once said, "I stood there and listened to the jungle. You can feel the rhythm of the jungle." I was fascinated by that quote from you because I can almost picture you doing that because you've been to jungles before. Tell me what that atmosphere is like when you were in it.
Well, each jungle I've been in is slightly unique. So whether it's Costa Rica or Thailand or Indonesia, I just got back from Africa. I was in the rainforest in Africa just last week. So the series of bird calls or monkey calls or those insects that you hear at night, you kind of just close your eyes and you begin to hear and identify the rhythm of the animals and begin to identify the individual animals that are making up all these noises around you. And I think so often we lose track of our connection to the natural world. And so to be in the jungle, you know, sweaty, hot, probably wet and a little dirty and muddy, but to close your eyes and just hone in on the sounds around you, it's such a grounding, powerful experience.
Chad, I think you know as well as I do when players get to the ends of their career that they struggle with deciding to leave, when to do it. It's a hard thing. The body might tell you one thing. The mind will tell you another thing. But you're one of those people and very few people that I've met that I felt that transition was probably a little bit easy or easier. Sure, you're going to miss the comradeship. But, you had already done so many things. I remember one athlete, a ball player who was in the Hall of Fame, said to me, I started preparing for retirement the first day I started playing because he understood that it could end in just a moment. What was that process like for you?
About year eight, I got a couple of concussions and began to kind of, formulate some plans for what I was going to do once I retired. I didn't want to just, be waiting on my next tee time. I wanted to do things. As you can tell from this call and all of my experiences, I'd like to be active. I like to learn. I like to experience things. So I set up I was trying to set up a life that once I was no longer playing, would try to be as seamless of a transition as possible. It's impossible for that transition to be completely seamless because, there's parts of the NFL that are never going to come back. The ability to do something on the field and bring 65,000 people to their feet and feel the energy from the crowd, that's never going to come back, in my life. But I can do other things that bring me similar joy or joy in a different way. So I, set out to do some things that would replace some of those parts of football. I've got a business, and so I've got that similar kind of locker room feel with some of my employees. While when I close the deal, 65,000 people don't jump to their feet, I certainly do experience the joy and energy and buzz that comes from those kind of things. So I would advise any player, certainly try to prepare yourself for your last game because it's going to come. It's not a point of if, it's a point of when. And you need to find some things in your life that bring you some happiness, realizing that you're never going to be able to bring that same joy you had that you had playing football.
And I would assume it's difficult if you haven't thought about it before you get to the end, because all of a sudden it comes to an end and you're not quite sure which way to go. My dad in the military, I know when he retired, he was lost for a number of years because all he had been done is told where he was going to be based and what he was going to be doing. And I assume that's the same way with football players.
It is. And because we retire or are forced out of the game when we're so young, you have to find a way to kind of get back into the workforce in some way, even if it's not just financial, just for the emotional connection to people and to have that sense of accomplishment in your day. But everyone else who's your peer has been at this job. For me, I played 15 years in the NFL, so all my peers have been working at their other jobs for 15 years. So you're so far behind once you retire, it can be a little daunting. So I understand some people who need some time to make that transition because, I can't just go suddenly apply for a job because I've got no experience. What am I going to do? What's the best avenue for me to make a difference in my life and my kids' lives and other people's lives? All those questions you need to answer before you kind of find your direction.
We've got about 3 minutes left, and I'd be amiss if I didn't ask you about the Harvard Health Study that you're involved in. And you mentioned about having concussions. I don't know probably if there is a player who's ever played professional football or even college football who didn't have one or more concussions. Tell me a little bit about the Harvard Health Study.
Well, it's more than just a concussion study because your brain doesn't walk down the street by itself. It walks within your body. And they want to do a whole body study with this Harvard Health Study. Obviously, the folks at Harvard are, super well qualified to do this thing. And at this point, it's the largest study ever performed on former players. We've got over 3,500 former players signed up for this. And this is now a time with big data, and we can begin to ask lots of players these questions, gather this data set, and really begin to understand some of these things. One example would be, okay, so you think you've got some concussion issues because you had a couple of concussions, but the reality maybe is you tore your ACL when you were playing college football. And now that you're done playing ball, your knee bothers you a little bit, so you have now gained some weight. You don't work out as normally as you should. Well, as you gain weight, once you get to a certain point, there's a strong chance you're going to develop sleep apnea. So if you have sleep apnea for a couple of years, we're not going to be thinking clearly because your brain is not getting the proper rest that it needs every night. So you think your issues are tied to a concussion, but the reality, it all goes back to that ACL injury you had, which then made you overweight, which then, you know, had you develop sleep apnea. So a study of this many players and gathering the large amount of data they're going to gather, I think it's really going to be helpful to help former players with their lives in their post-careers, but really begin to diagnose some of these issues and then hopefully begin to prevent some of these issues in future players. Because, as I said before, I love football. I want this game to be around for the next 50 years. And if the moms of America don't feel comfortable with little Timmy playing football, then this game won't be around. We need to make mom feel comfortable, and this study is a way of doing just that.
Final question. I want to ask you about a moment that you might remember throughout your football career, but maybe it's in the NFL, maybe it's college, because I've had a lot of players who have made it to the Super Bowl simply tell me that they'll never forget standing on the sideline with the national anthem and the Jets flying over. For you throughout your career, what moment kind of ingrained in Chad Brown's mind that you'll never forget?
At each stop, there's always something a little different about it. You know, to be in Three Rivers Stadium where the Steelers used to play, and everybody's waving those terrible towels. The University of Colorado running out behind Ralphie, the best mascot in all of college football, running out behind a live buffalo to take the field. In Seattle with the planes flying overhead. So all those experiences, it's hard to identify just one. But that pregame moment where all the anxiety and tension is building and the energy from the stadium is at its, you know, absolute peak, at each of those stops, that's what I remember. The Buffalo, the terrible towels, the Jets in Seattle, the foghorn in New England, all those things that identify that it is game time and how lucky am I that I get to go out and play this amazing game again.
In about 40 seconds, when you think back about it, was football everything you thought it was going to be when you were young?
Yes, absolutely yes. And people often ask me, you know, would you sign up for the same experience again? And my answer is absolutely, I would do the exact same thing over again. The injuries, the broken bones, the disappointments, the blood, the tears, all of that was far surpassed by the joy, the fun, the friendships, the relationships, and just the amazing ability to go out and play this game that I love.
Chad, I want to thank you. I do a lot of interviews over the long time that I've been hosting this show, and this is one that will stay with me for a very long time. I hope we have the ability to continue it at other times as well, and I hope you'll join me on one of the military things that I go on to be with the troops. I know how much they'd enjoy hearing from you. So thank you very much. Take care, Chad.
Well, thanks for having me on. I certainly appreciate it.
Chad Brown, former NFL linebacker, 15 seasons with the Pittsburgh Steelers, Seattle, and New England, and he played his college ball at Colorado. We continue with more of you at America's Sports Talk Show.
Hey, travelers, do you want to save money on your next flight? Then pick up the phone and call. That's right. Call, because the best prices are not online. They're with SmartFares. See, SmartFares has special deals with the airlines. When they have unsold seats, they use SmartFares to fill them. So you get airline tickets at ridiculously low prices. Our prices are too low to publish online. With the extra money you'll save, you can book another trip or treat yourself to dinner or shopping. So stop searching all of those travel sites to find the lowest price on your next flight. Let one of our SmartFares expert travel agents find ridiculously low prices for you. Call SmartFares today and get the best price on your next flight. Guaranteed. Also, save up to 50% off business and first class tickets.
855-325-1780. 855-325-1780. That's 855-325-1780.
Do you have an old car sitting in your driveway? How would you like to learn a hassle-free way to get rid of it, help kids in need, and get a great tax donation in the process? It's real easy. One simple free call to our car donation hotline is all it takes. Call the Neshama Foundation at 800-760-4895, 800-760-4895. We'll come pick your car up for free and give you a tax donation for the full value of the car, running or not. The value of your unwanted car will go to help kids in need. It's fast and easy. Just call us and your car will be gone and on its way to helping children in 48 hours. And you get a nice tax deduction. Call the Neshama Foundation now to get rid of your car, help kids, and get a tax write-off.
Call 800-760-4895, 800-760-4895, 800-760-4895. That's 800-760-4895.
Are you a parent of a 2 to 7 year old? Listen closely for an exciting free radio offer. By now you've probably heard of ABC Mouse, the award-winning and revolutionary online learning program that's changing the lives of early learners everywhere.
ABC Mouse is like a little one-on-one teacher. It has helped her so much.
Designed by teachers and early childhood learning experts, ABC Mouse seamlessly aligns with what your child is already learning in school. And with over 7,000 learning activities and more than 650 lessons, it's the most comprehensive early learning site on earth.
I have been teaching for 13 years, and I've never seen a program like ABC Mouse. It encompasses science, math, reading, social studies.
It's just endless what they can learn on ABC Mouse. I've always had to use 20 websites, and now I can just use one.
Right now, we're offering a special radio promo to try it free for a month. But you have to go to abcmouse.com/free to claim your free month. That's abcmouse.com/free. abcmouse.com/free.
This is America's Sports Talk Show, Sports Byline USA. Here's Ron Barr.
And that's going to wrap up this hour of Sports Byline. I told you it would be interesting and it would be unique. I think a lot of people have images of athletes. They always talk about dumb jocks. That is not the case with Chad Brown. He is a guy that has a bigger view of the world. And as I said to him before we got together, I said, you and I share something. Neither one of us like to be labeled. Again, former NFL linebacker who played 15 seasons, 5 of those with Pittsburgh, 8 with Seattle, and 2 with New England. And he came out of the University of Colorado, where he won a national championship for Bill McCartney in 1990. Remember, you can hear Sports Byline USA on Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your iPhone, Android phone, or WebOS phones, on demand and on the go. So download it for free at Stitcher.com or in the app stores. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio. I'm
this
Ron
is Joe
Barr.
Spano.
Thanks for being a part of America's Sports Talk Show.
This is Joe Spano.
And this is Bob Black.
The Spano and Black Attack, now on from 5 a.m. Pacific time till 7 a.m. Pacific time, Monday through Friday. The Spano and Black Attack, the best sports talk on the best sports talk network, the Sports Byline Broadcast Network.